Franciscan spirituality is about how you live. It's a lifestyle spirituality. When St. Francis heard God's call and allowed God to make a radical change in his life, it was a complete change of lifestyle. And if we follow in Francis' way, that changes our whole lifestyle too. It's often felt, and with good reason, that St. Francis is the most thoroughly Christian person who's ever lived, at least since the time of Jesus himself. For St. Francis, spirituality was built around a radical conversion of life. It was built around following Jesus, following his footsteps, becoming like him, actually doing the things that Jesus urged people to do. Jesus warns about the danger of riches, talks about how difficult it is for a rich people to go enter the kingdom of God, as difficult as a camel to go through the eye of a needle. Jesus himself was a vagrant preacher and healer who owned nothing. And Francis took note of that. He was rich, but he gave up all his possessions and took up the life of a beggar. And let's not just admire that. Let's stop and think how that changed him and might change us. It transforms relationships. It teaches us about trust. It brings simplicity to life and sweeps away all the things that complicate our lives and distract us from what is really important. So we've already noted several of the key hallmarks of the spirituality of St. Francis: a focus on Jesus, a focus on radical conversion and transformation of life, and a focus on poverty and simplicity. Not many Franciscans have actually become beggars as St. Francis did initially. And quite soon they set up houses. They began to do that in 1209 with the permission of the Pope. But the Franciscan lifestyle has always been marked by simplicity and by relative poverty. Unlike most monks, they've not withdrawn from the world. Franciscans have lived in the world with their simple lifestyle, and there's a particular challenge in doing that and a particular witness associated with it. Unlike most monks, Franciscans live in the world. They are, as Jesus says, in the world but not of it. And Franciscans have become very experienced at leading this simple lifestyle in amongst ordinary things and ordinary people. And a particularly important step in that, I think, was the formation of the Third Order of the Society of St. Francis. Not every Franciscan, not every person who wanted to follow Francis went off to live in special Franciscan houses. There were many people who found a way to embrace Franciscan values of simplicity and radical conversion of life, but integrating that with living in ordinary houses, doing ordinary jobs. It seems to have begun when Francis was preaching in a particular village of Canara in 1212. Francis preaching, it seemed, led almost the whole village to want to give up their houses and to become Franciscans. And Francis became concerned that whole towns might become depopulated as a result of this movement, and saw that it wouldn't work for everyone to give up their lives and become a Franciscan. So he told the people of Canara not to be in a hurry, and he would work out how they could find a way of following his lead, but staying in their own village. And it led a few years later to the founding of the Third Order, which involves a rule of life, of simplicity and many other things that can be lived in ordinary circumstances. And I think that was a really important innovation in Franciscan spirituality, the idea that you could follow a rule of life without giving everything up, follow a rule of life in your ordinary circumstances. And since then, many other religious groups have followed that lead, including, for example, the Community of the Cross of Nails, of which we're a part. It's not necessary for every Christian to adopt a rule of life, but I think it is helpful for many. And I don't think it has to be the same rule of life for everyone. But I think there's much to be said for many Christians working out what rule of life would be helpful for them, and also helpful for them to share with a soul friend of some kind what rule of life they have adopted, and to keep in touch with a soul friend about how they are keeping the rule of life that they have decided would be helpful for them. Francis himself had a vivid sense of the life of Jesus and identified very closely with Jesus. And he wanted to find ways in which the life of Jesus could become a vivid experience for the people of his town. And he was inventive in finding ways of doing that. It was St. Francis who constructed the first crib to mark how Jesus was born. It was in a cave in the hillside near Assisi. And St. Francis had arranged that in a way that reminded people of the birth of Jesus, and led a pilgrimage from Assisi out to this cave to see this kind of commemoration of the birth of Jesus. It was St. Francis who found a way of following in the footsteps of Jesus on the way from his sentencing by Pilate to his crucifixion, the Via Dolorosa. Many people, if they could, went to the Holy Land to follow in those footsteps of Jesus. But St. Francis had the idea that you could, in heart and mind, follow Jesus on the way to the cross in any street in your own locality, and developed a way of doing that. Some modern Franciscans have developed a way of reenacting the Emmaus walk with a fellow Christian. These are vivid ways of helping us to really experience and take to heart the life of Jesus and identify with it. Jesus refused to be constrained by the prevailing cautions and prohibitions of people of his time, and Francis followed him in that. And I suppose the classic story that illustrates this very early in Francis' time as a Christian is when he met a leper. Francis was riding along on his horse, and no doubt, like most people, were offended by the sight and smell of a leper. But nevertheless, St. Francis got off his horse, kissed the leper, and the leper kissed him back. And St. Francis, in that, found a sense of great joy. So for St. Francis, as I think for Jesus, human distinctions melted away. Distinctions between rich and poor, distinctions between healthy and diseased, they were of no consequence. Francis also felt at one with nature. There's a well-known story of St. Francis preaching to the birds, which illustrates this. Feeling as much at home with the birds as with human beings. And his sense of being at one with nature him at the offertory. It's worth noting that St. Francis wrote this great hymn of praise when death was imminent. So for Francis, the distinction between life and death was becoming unimportant too, like those other distinctions between rich and poor, health and illness. I think St. Francis' approach to death echoes those words of St. Paul: if we live, we live in the Lord. If we die in the Lord. Whether we live or die, we are in the Lord. The distinction between joy and pain. In the stigmata, the wounds of Christ, there is pain, but there is also joy. Early in his time as a Christian, Francis was told by God to rebuild a ruined church, the Church of St. Damien in Assisi. And he did that, literally. But that work of rebuilding a particular ruined church has become a powerful symbol of what St. Francis has done for the whole church over the last 800 years. He has shown how the church that is often distracted by irrelevant priorities, how that whole church can be rebuilt. And now again, as in Francis' time, the church needs to be rebuilt. And it was in conscious recognition of that need that the present Pope took the name of Francis and set himself the task of rebuilding a church in ruins. Strong words for any Pope to use to recognize that the Catholic Church that he'd been asked to lead was a church in ruins, and not only, I think, the Catholic Church. So it was apt that Pope Francis should go to Assisi as he did last Friday on St. Francis Day and commit himself to a rebuilding of a church which is marred by its vanity, and the church which should be focused on serving the poor. 800 years after St. Francis, it's a remarkable tribute to the power of Francis that he's able to point the way to the renewal of the contemporary church, a church that needs to be closer to Jesus, a church that needs to embrace the life of simplicity and service of the poor, and a church that has a joyful sense of the wonder and beauty of all creation. Thank God for St. Francis. May we and others follow in his footsteps.